You know, just about 2 days ago, I was reading John 14, verse 6. Now, all of you know that Philip asked Jesus a question. He says, "Show us the Father." And Jesus replied in John 14, 6, he said, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life." And all of us have read that scripture one time or the other, John 14, 6, and are very familiar. But 2 days ago, something went straight into my heart like an arrow. It brings a tremendous conviction into my heart. And you know what is that? You see, many people know that Jesus is the way. And they enjoy and they found the way of salvation. They found the way of blessing. They found the way into the things of God. And others, they found Jesus as the truth. They begin to tap into the understanding of divine truths. They begin to understand the wisdom of God. And there are others who went even further. They experienced what we call the life of God. They went into the inner veil and enjoyed communion and fellowship with God. Some were in the outer court, they were enjoying Jesus as the way. Some, they went in to the holy place and enjoyed Jesus as the truth. Some went even further to enjoy Jesus as life. But you know what I found out? Jesus don't just want us to enjoy Him as the way. He don't even want you to enjoy Him just as the truth. And He even don't even want you to enjoy Him as your life. Because that is only the first half of what Jesus says in John 14:6. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." In other words, Jesus ultimately wants to be a channel where you come into direct fellowship with the Father. But most people, they just found the way. Most people, they enjoy wisdom. They have the power. They have the anointing. They have a ministry in the inner courts. They even enjoy life. But that's not where God wants us to stay. God wants us to go into the bosom of the Father. God wants us to enjoy Him as our portion in life. So whatever you tap today, whatever you are, you enjoy His blessing. Don't stop at the blessings of God. Don't stop even at the goodness of the Lord. Quickly go right in and meet the Father. What God wants out of our life through Jesus is that we have intimacy with God. But most people just stop where we are. And the Lord says, "Son, tell them to come in. Tell them to come in into my presence and meet me and fellowship with me day to day." Amen. So I pray that you will go beyond what you have ever enjoyed thus far. Go deeper, in a greater depth, into the very presence of the Father and love Him with all your heart, with all your soul and your might and your strength. Amen. Tonight, I want to share a different topic with you. I want to talk to you about peace. What is your definition of peace tonight? If I say the peace of God, what do you understand by the word peace? In Romans chapter 5 verse 1, "Therefore, being justified with God, now we have peace with God through Jesus Christ." So what is your understanding concerning this phrase called peace? Anyone? What do you understand? I believe you know by now. All of you are very intelligent audience. You have read many, many books. You know, so you have a tremendous wide range of understanding concerning just this simple word, peace. Sorry, what is peace? Friendship, okay. Someone said friendship is peace. Anyone else? You have any answer? Sorry? Lost in the presence of God, enjoying His peace. What is really peace? Yes, sister? Sorry? To reconcile with God. Amen. Which scripture will you use? Sorry. It's Colossians 1:20. Having peace with God, reconciled through the blood of the cross. Amen. Anyone else? Yes, right at the back. Sorry, I couldn't hear. I'm so sorry. Can someone repeat, echo her answer? Rest in the Lord. Alright, praise the Lord. Right from the back. Rest in the Lord. Amen. Any else? What do you understand by the term peace? Yes. Sorry? A fellowship with God. Amen. Fellowshipping with God. Any more? Yes, sister. God will not punish us because now we have Jesus, our advocate. Jesus is now being our justification. Amen. Yes, sister. Oh, sorry. Would you read me one more time? All right. Pour all your worries and all your concern and your anxiety all on His shoulders. Cast all your cares upon Him. Amen. Be free from all kinds of burden. All right. Okay. So tonight, based on assessing what you know about peace, let me give you my definition of what is the peace of God. The peace of God was lost in the garden. When Adam fell into sin, he lost the peace of God. How do we know he lost the peace of God? He was so frightened of God. For the first time, instead of having peace in his heart, he was gripped with fear. He ran and hid under the fig tree, and he hid himself away from the presence of God. When a man sinned, he lost his peace with God. Amen. But when man is reconciled back to God, God firstly restore peace into their life, where they have a renewed or restoration of relationship with God. That's why the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, he says in verse 13, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ, for He is our peace, who had made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us." Now we sang the song before. He is our peace. He is our peace, who has broken down every wall. Amen. He is our peace. So we have sang that song before. So what do we understand tonight by the term the peace of God? When God one day came to a mortal man by the name of Gideon in the book of Judges, in Judges chapter 6 verse 24, He told Gideon, He says, "Do not be afraid of the enemy. I am unto you Jehovah Shalom." Judges 6:24. He says, "I am your very peace that you are seeking for. I am your peace." Do you know that peace is connected with warfare? Peace is connected with war. Because during Gideon's time, he was waging and against all odds against the furious army of the Midianites. And the enemy outnumbered him. In fact, God did a miraculous thing. From 10,000 reduced to 300. He said, "With this 300, you can win the war." He said, "How can I win the war?" "Don't worry, I am Jehovah Shalom. My special covenant name has been revealed to you. You go into war and you will win the war." And he went into great battle and he won the war, and he became a judge over the nation of Israel. Do you know that peace is connected with warfare? Romans chapter 16 say, "The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet." Do you remember in the next millennium when Jesus come back to rule, it has to do with warfare, bringing all enemies under his feet. He says in Isaiah 9:7, "Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end." Peace peace is connected with warfare. If there is no peace in your life, that means you have lost a battle. If there is no peace in your life, means you have lost a battle. That's why you lost something precious from God. Peace is signifying that you have won a great victory in Christ. So peace is connected with something dynamic. You see, peace is not static. Peace is very dynamic. Peace is very wide in its scope and range of understanding. And tonight we want to have a complete scope of understanding. What really is peace? Peace comes from the Hebrew word all of us are familiar with, is the word shalom. What is shalom? Now this word shalom not only means peace. Do you know that shalom means health? Tonight, if you say that you have the peace of God, I can give you enough information tonight to tell you majority of us, or in fact all of us 100% in this place, don't have the peace of God. I have the peace of God. In my heart I feel calm, I feel restful, I feel wonderful. No. That is only one little tiny information you have concerning peace. Tonight when I give you all the pieces of information, you will understand that all of us here in one way or the other don't have the peace of God. Because peace simply means health. If you say you have peace, do you have health tonight? Do you have good health tonight? Because that's what peace is all about. Are you sick in your body? If you're sick in your body, you don't have peace. Not only the word shalom means peace and health, it means safety. Oh, particularly for mothers. Oh, my child has not come back from school and you're worried about the safety of your children. Your husband came home late from work. He said, what happened to him? That he met an accident and you are concerned for him. You know, and when he go abroad, he said, better buy double insurance in case there's something happen on the way on the plane. You have no safety. You are always having nervous breakdown. You are always very frightful. You are always very anxious. You are always a worried buck. Then, that means you don't have peace. Peace means you are in a safe place. You can rest assured that everything is fine and well with you. Psalms 4 in verse 6. It talked about this psalmist in Psalms 4 and verse 6 it say, there be many that say, who shall show us any good? Lord, lift up thy light of thy countenance upon us. And verse 8, you lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only make me dwell in safety. If you ever spend enough quality time with the Lord and allow the light of his countenance to shine upon you, the Bible says he will give you peace and you have good sound sleep. And he say, you will dwell in safety. The word safety there is shalom. In other words, you will be safe. You remember that there's a scripture that says that whoever hearken unto the counsel of God's word. You know what will happen to the man? The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 1, if you are one person that walks in obedience, total obedience to the counsel of his word. Proverbs chapter 1, he says in verse 33, but whosoever hearken unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. In other words, if you love the word of God, if you walk into the full counsel of God's word, you should be walking safely. You should not be afraid of evil coming near into your family, into whatever areas of your life. You are not frightful of the future. You are not worried. If tonight you are worried about your future. Is my future safe? How good is my future? You know, in Taiwan, when I arrived there just about 3 weeks ago, everybody was buying a ticket to fly out of Taiwan for a holiday, just in case some funny flying object landed in Taiwan. So they bought the ticket in advance booking. They are not safe. They don't have a sense of safety. They don't have peace reigning in your life. Amen. If you have peace, everything is fine. You say, where can we get peace? Well, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, it was written by a man of peace. His name was Solomon. The word Solomon in the Hebrew means peaceable, a man of peace. And Solomon wrote in chapter 3, in verse 17. What he says in verse 17? He says, let me read verse 16. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honors. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Tonight, if you able to understand, with all you're getting, get wisdom. The key to live a very fulfilling life, to live a very enriching life, is to get wisdom. Whatever price you can pay, pay the price of wisdom. The key for success in life, the key to reign in life, is wisdom. If you have wisdom, the Lord will teach you how to reign supernaturally in life. Many people fail miserably is because they lack wisdom. Why do they lack wisdom? Because they refuse to pay the price to dig into the Word of God and find wisdom as their treasure. You know, we like to be spoon-fed from daily bread. There's nothing wrong with daily bread, right? But we come to daily bread, and that is our morning devotion. If that is how you spend your time with God, you will only get knowledge. You will never find wisdom. Wisdom is when your heart is so hungry for God's word as your final authoritative counsel in life. And you dig into His word, you study His word, and you cry out for greater understanding. Then when you find wisdom, and God will show you how to reign in life. Everywhere I go, I tell people, what we need most is not prayer. What we need most is not fasting. I spoke this in my prayer school in Taiwan. There was complete silence among 200 over students. You know why? Because we can pray not using the wisdom of God. You can fast and pray. But if I have the wisdom of God, I can get the same result that you fast and pray for 21 days. What? Because the key is walking in wisdom. Search the scripture. Find wisdom. Pay a price to associate with people that have learned the wise way in life and tap on the wisdom that has come through their life. And you will be a wise man and a wise woman. And I can tell you, you will reign as kings. And the Bible says in verse 17, those that find wisdom found that the way of life is pleasant to them. Is life pleasant to you or unpleasant? Is life wonderful to you or is it a misery to you? And he says, and all her paths are peace. When you found wisdom, the way you walk in, the things that you do for God is all filled with peace. Amen? Not only shalom means peace, health, safety. Do you know that shalom means welfare in the Hebrew? Oh, pastor, I've been working in this company for 3 years. How come my friend got the promotion? I don't got the promotion. It's not fair. My company don't give me the welfare. How come I work in this company for so long? My friend got a $50 increment. I get none. I'll tell you why. Because you lack peace. If you have peace, the boss will take good care of you. He will give you special welfare. Amen? That is peace. Do you know that? I have a friend in Indonesia working in this company, loyal to this company for many years. And then one new lady came in and using the flattery of her mouth, and it's not a Christian, and flattered her boss. And in 1 year's time, she got her name listed for promotion. So she told me, what to do? I say, we are going to claim peace. We are going to claim the welfare for you. Because you have been loyal to this company, you should deserve it, not this woman. And so let's believe God for a miraculous deliverance, that she will be out of the picture. And guess what? 1 month later, just about 3 days ago, an email came in. Pastor, a new regulation came up, and she was not qualified for the promotion, and she's out. I say, hallelujah. Amen. There's no such thing. Let the enemy come in and take our place. Amen. We are supposed to reign in life. No such thing. Oh, if he got my promotion, let her take that. No such thing. In the things of God, we have the authority to look at our situation and say, Lord, we are claiming welfare, peace. Amen. So are you seeking for increment? Hey, get your welfare. If you have been a very hard working servant in a company, you deserve it. But if you are lazy, then please don't try. It will never work. But if you have labored and you are loyal to the company, you work with all your heart, and you know that you deserve a raise, then God will give it to you. There was one time I worked very hard, 12 hours a day from 9:30 to 9:30, and for so long there's no increment. I said, Lord, what is it? Lord said, it's time to claim for increment. And my mind said, I don't think you will give me. I know what kind of boss I have. He said, just believe me for increment. You just tell me in front of my presence that you work very, very hard, you have been very loyal to this company, you deserve a raise. And we ran in, and every day I reminded the Lord, Lord, I'm coming for welfare. And guess what? 1 month later, my boss looked at me and he said, but I don't know why. I'm sorry, you know, I felt that I need to give you an increment. $100 is good enough? Oh, good enough. Thank you, thank you. He didn't know that I did something behind his back. Hallelujah. I was asking God for peace. Not only shalom means peace, health, safety, welfare. Do you know that shalom means prosperity? I'm telling you, if you don't prosper today, you don't have peace. Now, can I be very straightforward? Now, some people are very sensitive about money, but let's dive to our Chinese culture. Let's talk about money. Money is a spiritual subject. If today, if you are the breadwinner and your earning is only, I'm sorry, I'm using an example, alright, I'm not here directly pointing anybody. If you here earn less than $800 and you say, this is the amount of money I have, I tell you, you don't have peace. If you have peace, you are supposed to prosper in your finance. So if you don't make it, if you are unemployed, you don't have peace. Because if you have peace, you are going to prosper in finance. You say, Pastor, I don't think so. I challenge you to go and find a Hebrew scholar and go and find out about peace concerning finance. He will tell you that's one of the meaning. So if you prosper today in your career, in your business, my friend, you have peace. So if you say, I have the peace of God, and you're not prospering in finance, I'm sorry, you have a different biblical definition of peace, which is outside the Bible. Because biblical definition of peace means you prosper in life. I'm telling you, if you claim to be having the peace of God, then you must prosper, you must receive prosperity into your life. Amen? Curse is a sign that you don't have the peace of God. Blessing is a sign that the peace of God has come into your life. Amen? So are you prospering today? Money is a sign that you have the peace of God. Because prosperity means shalom. And not only that, it means restfulness, tranquility. If today you are so stressed up in life, you're so cooked up with the stress and the pressure of life, you don't have peace. Not because you are looking at television, the stock market up and down, and then you feel you are very under stress. Alright? Those, you deserve it. You deserve to be removed from peace. Alright? Those who pray in the stock market, I tell you, if there's no peace, you can't sleep at night, don't ask me for prayer. You deserve it. Alright? What I'm saying is that you're walking right with God. Your heart is right. And yet, you can't find rest. Then you need to ask God, God, I need the peace that brings rest to my soul. In fact, if you have the peace of God, you should live long. Because peace means tranquility. Whoever have a tranquil spirit will live long on this earth. So if you say you have peace and you only live for 35 years old, you don't have peace. Peace means you live longer than 35, 40, 50, 60, 70. Amen? You live long life. That is the meaning of peace. Having a tranquil heart. Soundness of life. And not only that, peace, is the word shalom, means contentment. Are you content in life? Or are you discontent? Always complaining. That's not good. Today no aircon. This and that. If you are always in a state of discontentment with a murmuring spirit, you don't have peace. When you have peace, you will let, like Paul in Philippians chapter 4 verse 11 and 12. He said, whatever circumstances I'm in, whether I'm abound or I'm abased, whether I'm in poverty or whether I'm full of riches, I remain content. Amen? Now, content. Are you content tonight? Are you happy in where you are today? That is a reflection of the peace of God in your life. Do you know that David once said, in Psalms 37 verse 37, he said, mark that perfect man. You know, how did David knew who is the perfect man? He said, mark that perfect man, for the end of that upright man is peace. Look at the man. If that man is perfect before God, look at the end of his life. If the end of his life, you look at his life, is full of peace, you know that this man is truly perfect before God. If you die and you struggle like that and go off, you don't have the peace. Most, and I have seen many people who died, when they have God with them, they die in a sleep very peacefully. The reason why they cannot live, you know why? They say, I do not know about the next world, and they struggle. But the moment you share with them about the glories of heaven, and they can accept the fact that the next life is going to be much more wonderful than this life, they let go. And when they let go, they rest in peace. Amen? But the more you feel about death, that's where you struggle with the rest of humanity. For us, we only change address. We just sleep next door, next day, we are there in a new place, a better place, bigger mansion, right? Everything is gold with diamonds, rubies. Women will love it a lot. Not us. We say, oh, what are those jewels? But women say, oh, I don't have to shop for jewels anymore. Wow, all the golds, emerald. Peace not only means soundness, peace also means living in harmony with the God of the universe. If today you don't have a good relationship with God, my friend, you lack peace. If today you struggle in your walk with God, today you lack peace. Because peace simply means you have a very good fellowship and an intimate relationship with God. To sum up, what is shalom? Shalom simply means wholeness. Wholeness. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23, Apostle Paul says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, peace have to do with wholeness. What is wholeness? This morning, I asked one of my good friend, a visiting pastor. He said, oh, yesterday we were celebrating a birthday for somebody. So I will use a birthday cake as an illustration. Now, if you have a birthday cake and you slice it into many pieces because there are many friends are there celebrating the birthday party, right? So you slice the cake. And each one of them, you give them a piece of the cake. From the whole cake, you slice it with different pieces and you distribute it. So one of your friends eaten the first piece. It's called the goodness of God's salvation. He received Christ. He paid salvation. That is only one piece of the whole cake. Then another brother took another piece and eat it, and he enjoyed God's blessing in the area of finance. He eat it, and guess what? He only eat one of the piece of the entire whole cake. And another person eat this another piece of the cake, and he enjoyed good health. He was testifying how God healed him of cancer. That is only one piece of the entire whole cake. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to tell you, if you tonight tell me that you claim to have peace of God in your life, you must have wholeness. Whole in your body, whole in your soul, whole in your spirit. That means not only you prosper in your finance, prosper in your health, prosper in every way of your life, prosper in your soul, your mind is renewed, prosper in your soul because now you can think the thoughts of God, prosper in your body, you have good health and well-being, prosper in your spirit are open to God. When you prosper both in body, soul and spirit, that is the dimension of peace. With this information, are you in pieces or do you have the whole peace? I'll tell you, all of us here don't have it. Because the true definition of peace is wholeness. Including me. But I will go for it. Amen? That's what you're here for. Go for what is missing in your life. Now this word peace comes from a root word. Now in the Hebrew language there are 200 roots. And out of the roots there comes the various meanings in life. Now this word shalom comes from the root shalem. Now what does shalem? Shalem and shalom are related words. They are similar in meaning. So let's find out what is the mother root meaning. And from the root meaning, we have a depth of understanding tonight. The word shalem means be complete. If you are incomplete, you don't have peace tonight. Shalem means soundness, wholeness. It also means making compensation. It also means restitution, be repaid, restoration. Shalom means completeness. Do you know what peace really means? Peace simply means wholeness and completeness. In other words, it means enjoying the fullness and the richness of God's redemptive blessings bought through the blood covenant. It's a full range, a comprehensive range of everything that God has for you through the cross of Jesus Christ. Do you have the full range of His benefits? If you only have one of His benefits, then you don't have the full, whole, complete peace of God. It means, shalem means compensation. Shalem means be repaid, restitution. Do you know that shalem has to do with money issues? Now in Singapore, when you greet one another, you say, oh, have you eaten? Have you eaten? Right? That's how we greet one another. Have you eaten rice? That's what it means, right? But in Israel, they greet each other as Shalom Shalom Macha. That's how they greet each other. Shalom Shalom Macha. Literally, it means peace be unto you. What is your peace today? Hey, isn't it interesting? That's how they greet you. In other words, when they greet you, peace be unto you, what is your peace? They're asking you, are you well today? Are you healthy today? Can you tell me what is your peace? How much peace do you enjoy from God today? The Hebrew mind understand this meaning. He says, are you well today? Are you whole today? Are you happy today? Are you resting in the Lord today? And not only that, it means, are you financially sound today? Are you financially sound? If you're not, you don't have the peace. And the word shalem has to do with money issue, has to do with compensation. You know what it means? It means this, when a Jew greets you with peace, he's saying, now you've been working for 1 month, have you received your salary? If your boss has not compensated for your goods and your services, you need to claim it back. Boss, you haven't paid me. I worked for 1 month. And that's ask for shalom, compensation. Amen? If you are a businessman, and people buy your goods and your services, and otang you, and say, oh, put it on hold, 6 months later I pay you, and 6 months later they didn't pay you. You don't have the peace of God until they repay your goods and your services. So if people owe you debts and they haven't returned you your money, your rightful money, you need to ask God for your peace. You say, payday has come, pay me back today. Hey, peace is very dynamic. Peace is very practical. Not the kind of, I feel so good. That is shallow understanding of scriptures. The deep meanings has to do with money. Amen? So if you work and nobody pay you anything, you lost your peace and you need to get it back. Now, this word shalom, right from the roots, if you go to the Hebrew University in Israel and you ask the professor over there, what is shalom? You know what will be the definition? He will reply you this way: nothing missing, nothing broken. Is there anything missing in your life? Is there anything lacking in your life? If your answer is yes, you lack health, you lack finance, you lack peace of mind, you lack peace of sleep, then you lack peace. Anything missing? Anything broken? Is your heart broken? Are you wounded in your soul? Do you need inner healing? Somebody hurt you and you can't get over it? Something broken on the inside of you? Then you lack the peace. Because peace means having the ability to lead a wholesome and a complete life, having nothing missing and nothing broken in your life. That, my friend, is peace. What is your lack? David understood peace. He says in Psalms 23 verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. But you notice what he's saying in verse 1. He said, the Lord is my good shepherd, I lack nothing in this life. There's nothing missing in his life. Do you know why God asks you to give him your tithes? Not because God wants your money. When you give God 10%, how much is missing in your life when you give God 10%? You give God 10%, right? How much is missing in your life? How much? How much? You study mathematics, right? So if you give 10% to God, how much is missing in your life? Sorry? I didn't hear you. How much? 10%! That's right! You give 10% to God, means 10% is missing. If God is your peace, if God is your peace, and peace means nothing missing, what will God do with the missing parts? He will compensate it back. You can never outgive God. That 10% missing in life will be recompensated. If you understand the dynamic structure of peace tonight, whatever is missing, God will put it back. So don't say, oh, here goes my money. Here goes my money. No, your money will come back to you. In fact, it will come back more if you have the peace of God. Amen. The more you give, the more it will come back to you. Amen. But make sure you give in good soil. Wrong soil, money won't come back. So remember, whatever's missing, God will compensate you. Now tonight, our scripture that we have just read this evening is Isaiah 54 verse 10. Let me read Isaiah 54 verse 10 again. The book of Isaiah 54 and verse 10. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. Do you know something? That God here declare that not only he give you peace, this peace is so powerful, it's called a covenant of peace. You know what it means? It means I'm giving you my unconditional promise that I will guarantee with my blood that I am giving you my peace. And when I give you my peace, it will never be removed from your life. It is a covenant. You know what is a covenant? A covenant is when two parties come together and make an agreement by blood, and that agreement can only be broken if they die. And I tell you, God will never die. That covenant will never be broken. Therefore, His peace that He give you will never be removed from your life. It can never be violated. He will always continuously longs to impart peace into your life. It is a covenant. Nothing else can change it, because God wants to give you His peace tonight. And He say, it's time that you claim back your peace. It's time that you claim back what is missing in your life tonight. Now, how did this covenant of peace come about? You see, Isaiah 54 comes as a result of Isaiah 53. What is Isaiah 53 verse 5? Isaiah 53 and verse 5. But He was wounded for our transgression, He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes you are healed. Isaiah 53 talks about the blood covenant, where Jesus shed His blood. And because of the shedding of the blood, therefore, the result of that blood covenant, we now have what we call the covenant of His peace. In other words, we have every right to demand for peace, because Jesus paid the price at Calvary. Tonight, whatever is missing, whatever is broken in your life, you can claim peace because of Jesus shedding His blood at Calvary. It's a covenant. You can ask for it. In other words, my friend, peace is your inheritance. God has given it to you. You have every right to get it back from God, because you have a covenant with God. You are joint heirs with Christ, according to Romans 8:17. Therefore, if it is your inheritance, it is your very right and privilege, why not take it back? Why not ask God to redeem what is lost in your life? You know what God told me recently? He says, I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to use my scripture to prick you until my people arise and take back what was lost. I tell you, if we are going to look at scriptures, let us have a dynamic pursuit of scriptures. Lord, now I found out through the scriptures, oh, peace is missing. I'm going to get it back. You know, scriptures are not for you to entertain your mind. Scriptures are not to build up a storehouse of knowledge in your soul. It's useless. Unless you work it out in your life, unless you go and say, God, I demand it to come back to my life. That's what scripture is all about, to find out what has been missing in your life. And you say, Lord, I thank you, I found the will of God tonight, and I'm going to get it back. That's the purpose why you're here tonight, is to know what is missing in your life and get it back, because you have a covenant of peace with God through His blood. Amen. So I'm going to talk to you right now about the seven redemptive benefits of His covenant peace, and see where you are missing, and let's get it back tonight. Amen. Firstly, Isaiah 53 and verse 4, surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. You know, it's talking about there in Isaiah 53 verse 4, it talks about how He carried our griefs and our sorrow. The word griefs is makop, means pains. Sorrows means tole, means sickness and disease. Jesus Christ took our pains, our sickness and disease on the cross, so that tonight you can have the first redemptive benefits of His covenant peace, that is shalom in your body. If you have arthritis pain in your body, you say, no, I don't deserve that, this pain. If you have rheumatoid pains in your body, pains in the joints, you say, Lord, you have took my makop, you have took my pains. If tonight you have sickness in your body, say, Lord, something is missing. It's my health. There's no shalom in my body. And you claim and go for it until God fully restore shalom, restore health to your wonderful body that He has created for you. Amen. So that's the first area. Look at your life. Is there shalom in your body? Secondly, is there, in verse 5, he says, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11, he says, finally, brethren, farewell, be perfect, and be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace. Do you have strife and tension and quarrel in your family? If there is a divorce in a family, there is no peace. If husband and wife couldn't live together, couldn't agree together, you sleep in this room, I sleep in the next room, that is not peace. There's no such thing. You sleep in this room, I sleep in the next room. We must reconcile all difference. We should sleep together on the same bed. Not you sleep on the bed, I sleep on the floor. You sleep on the bed, I sleep on the couch. That's not peace. When you're peace, you should walk in love. Do you have good relationship with your children? Do your children listen to you? Or your children talk back and you have a very unsteady relationship with your children? Do you have peace? How about businessmen? Do you have good relationship with your employee? Employee and employer fight. Do you have good relationship among your colleagues? Do you have good relationship with your friends? If you don't have, something is missing. That is peace. There must be shalom in every strata of relationship in our life. Look for peace. If there is missing, Lord, something is missing. Go after it and say, Lord, let there be a restoration of relationship. You know, a few months ago, my father had a bit of misunderstanding with my family. You see, my father, as he gets older, you know how body changes, hormones changes and so on. They become very different in their behavioral pattern. What they used to be 15 years ago, now there's a great character change. Not because they change, but because of the hormonal change in their body, they behave very differently. Amen? And so because of that, there is a bit of friction and misunderstanding. And I told my wife, I said, this should not carry on like that. We must ask God for restoration of peace. And a few weeks ago, it was reconciled, and now he is living with us. Amen? So whatever has broken in your relationship with your parents, with your mother-in-law, alright? Mother-in-law, father-in-law, you've got to have the peace. So ask for the peace, restore it, and then let us enjoy peace in every aspect of living. Amen? Thirdly, not only shalom in your relationship, shalom in your living. In Isaiah 53 verse 11, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. The travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Do you know the word satisfied is the word sabah? Not your chili padi sambah, but sabah means fully satisfied. Are you satisfied in life today? Are you happy with your living condition today? Are you satisfied? David is satisfied. The Bible says in Psalm 63 verse 6, he said, my soul is filled with the fatness of the marrow, and I will praise God with joyful lips. He was satisfied. He has sabah. Are you happy with life? Are you satisfied? Many Christians are not satisfied. How do you know? Look at their face, they will know. Right? Are you satisfied in life? Do you feel that life treats you fairly? You say, oh no, I don't demand such things. You don't demand, it will never be the same. You see why? I give an example. Years ago, I was living in another area, in another part of Singapore. I was looking at my home, and one day I just felt in my heart, Lord, I have used up every space in my home and I need a space for an office and there's no space. I was not happy. And then I say, ask of me and I will give you. I was not satisfied with my living condition. And I began to ask God. And God widened my space and now I have one room for the office. Are you happy with your living condition? Now, I'm not asking you to be gluttony.
You're living in a 5-room flat, only 2 of you with no children, and you say 5-room is not good. Now it's very popular to live in executive mansionette. Lord, I want more. That is lust. That's not what I'm referring to. I'm referring to that very honestly, you look at your living condition, you say, Lord, something is not right. I believe, Father, if I walk with you, Lord, you can change my living condition, and God will give you the satisfaction in life. 3 years ago, I was ministering in Hong Kong. One of the lecturers from the Hong Kong University said, Pastor, can you pray for me? We are living in a rented place, and to buy a place is very expensive in Hong Kong. We cannot afford. I said, you're not happy with living condition? It's subject to change. Let's pray. So we pray. I said, Lord, let there be a change. 1 year later, I met her in Jerusalem. She said, Pastor, thank you. I said, well, thank you for your prayer. What happened? Through the economic crisis, the price went down 50% and we bought our own place. Hallelujah. And I said, very happy. Are you happy with your living conditions? If you're not, I said, Lord, if my heart is right before you, I believe I have the confidence to ask you for a change. Now, before you pray any prayer, look within you. If you are honest before God and you're clean before God, and you know something is amiss, then you have every right to ask God, I'm asking for a change, and I demand a change, and change will come. Amen? Praise God. And then, fourthly, shalom in your finance. Money is very important. Isaiah 53 and verse 10. In the last portion, he says he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. Do you have the word prosper there? Now, that word prosper is exactly the same word in Psalms 118, verse 25. He says, save us, O Lord, I beseech thee, send us your prosperity. It's the same Hebrew word. In other words, God wants to bless your finance. Prosperity is part of the package of the covenant of peace. If financially you are down in debts, you should not be there. Because every child of God should not be in great debts. You should get out of your severe debts. You say, but how to get out? First of all, you better ask God to forgive you for your naughty behavior in massive borrowing, massive gambling in the stock market, in everything that caused you to be in debt. After God rebuke you and forgive you, then you say, Lord, give me a chance. Restore the peace back into my finance. And God will do it. This morning, a brother approached me. He said, brother, I don't have peace. What to do? I said, good. God purposely don't give you peace. Why? For the past 3 years, where are you in church? You're out of action. You're not in church. You're in your business. Now you're bankrupt and you want God peace? God purposely make you out of range with His peace so that He can draw you back. Today you are back. You better repent. 3 years, where are you? You are missing in action. Today, repent that you don't love God. You don't love God at all. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You don't even pay your tithe. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You don't come to church. Yeah, yeah. You don't read the Bible. Yeah. You deserve to be punished. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Repent first. Then you ask God for a restoration of peace. Cry now. Oh, Pastor, please pray for my child now. He's very worried for his mid-year examination. Every Friday prayer meeting, I don't see you. Now exam drawing, you come to church for prayer. No peace for you. You know why we spoil people? People don't come to church and then finally show up in emergency. Pastor, please pray. You think prayer is so cheap, is it? Prayer is not cheap. Where are you all these years in prayer meeting? You only attend 2 times in a year. Once during mid-year final exam and one in the final exam in GCE O level. Then you bring your child to church and, Pastor, please pray. I'll plaster you, not pray for you. True or not? I'll just be very honest with you. If we want God's peace, then we must live right before God. Amen? So if you are financially not doing well, and it's not your own mistakes,
not because of lust or anything. Then, when your life is right, say, Lord, it's time to restore my finance. And I tell you, God will restore finance. There was a sister, he said, Pastor, I'm out of job for over 2 years because of this economic crisis in Indonesia. I say, I watch you, you have come every time there's a meeting, you come early to pray. I know your heart is clean. Let's ask God for a miracle. And God gave her a miracle that surprised her. Why? Suddenly she went into this company for interview and they say, yes, you get a job. And they give her an entitlement to drive a new BMW. She got a shock. But Pastor, she asked me to drive a BMW. I'm stressed. I said, enjoy it. This is your answer to your own prayer. But BMW. I never even tried a small Toyota, not BMW. I say, enjoy it. Because you ask God for a miracle and God is giving you peace in your prosperity. Amen? Praise God. Now, fifth area of peace is in Isaiah 54 and verse 1. It says, sing, O barren, thou that did not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that did not travail with children, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. What is it? Breakthrough. Breakthrough in your ministry, breakthrough in every area of your life. If there is a breakdown of the things of God in your life, you need to ask God for a breakthrough. That woman, desolate woman, doesn't have a child, suddenly was barren, and there was a breakthrough. Sing forth, and she burst forth, and she had more children than the married fertile wife. That is breaking forth into fertility, breaking forth into reproduction, breaking forth into fruitfulness. Peace always bring fruitfulness. Peace always bring fruitfulness. There was a couple in Surabaya. For 3 years they've been asking. They said, Pastor, we have no child, what to do? For 3 years. And one day I said, put your hand on the womb there and let's pray for peace in her womb. And I bless her womb with peace. Peace. Receive the peace of God. And this year, they have a child. And he named the child after my own child, Samuel. Praise God. When there's peace, there is fruitfulness. Amen. Sixthly, it says in Isaiah 54 verse 13, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. That is shalom in your family life. Children is part of the family. We must claim peace in our family. Do you know something? When I lived in my first home, it was wonderful. That place, people step in and say, Brother, there's something in this home. And we were very happy. Then we shift into another place temporary for 1 year. And it was really, really a lousy feeling. Something was not right in this home. And so when we shift into our new home, this time we said, Lord, let there be peace found in this home. And we dedicated, we cried out, we prayed, we sanctified. And guess what? After that, something happened in this place. And people step in and say, this place is very good. Why? Because we ask God for peace to rest in the family. Amen? Family is home sweet home. Not where pots and pans fly all over the place in quarrel. Alright? It's home sweet home. There must be peace in family life. Now, here Isaiah 54 verse 13 say, great will be the peace of your children. We must pray that the peace of God rests on your children. When the peace of God fully rests on your children will grow up healthily and wholesomely in the Lord. Nowadays, children doesn't look like the children of the Lord. Fun hairstyle, earrings, funny things. And I don't know what happens to a Christian family that allow children to run amok in the family, to do whatever they want. And look at them, I say, Lord, some of our Christian family's children need to be saved all over again. I look at one child and say, you mean you are a child of a pastor? You need to be saved again. If you come to my home and say, you better be saved. Really? Out? My God. Something is wrong with Christian family nowadays. Amen? We must impart godly values into children.
that lady wear miniskirt way up. I say, you have no clothes to wear, is it? Pastor, no. I say, why are you always stretching on? Ah, you have no clothes to wear. Fashion, what fashion? Holiness is always in fashion. Amen? So we must realize peace. Now, notice something. He didn't say peace. He said you must pray for your children great peace. Did he say great peace? Great peace. So we can expect great peace to be upon our children. Not small peace. Not little peace. Great peace. And finally, he says in the 7 redemptive benefits. The first one, shalom in your body. Secondly, shalom in your relationship. Thirdly, shalom in your finance. Fourthly, shalom in your living condition. Fifthly, shalom in your breakthroughs in all areas of your life. Sixthly, shalom in your family. And finally, shalom in your warfare. Isaiah 54, verse 17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. For this is the heritage, or this is the inheritance of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. The 7th area is shalom in all the battles of your life. He say, no weapon formed against you will prosper. Do you know something? If you are a true born again Christian who live in the truths of God, every battle you face, you must win the battle. There's no such thing as losing a battle. Every battle against the enemy, you must win it. Why? The scripture saying no weapon formed against you will prosper. If the enemy win against you, you lost the peace of God. Something is broken. The enemy has broke through into your life and bring sickness into your body and cause poverty to come upon your finance. He has broke through. But we must get all the forces of the enemy out, and you must maintain your victory. Claim your ground. Every battle we must win. I told some of the intercessors, I say we are champions. We are champions, we are warriors, and we are champions, and every fight is a good fight. And every fight of faith, we must win. Because God has given us a covenant. No such thing, you fight 10 battles, 5 you win, 5 you lose. There's no such thing as losing the battle, because the greatest war has already been won at Calvary. All we need to do is stand the ground and say, Lord, not that I fight, but I stand on the ground of Calvary. I expect to win the war because of the blood of Jesus. No weapon tonight, whatever forces of the enemy, whatever curse the enemy put upon you, whatever the enemy comes against you, oppression, sickness, disease, whatever it may be, no weapon today must ever have a chance to survive and prosper in you. No way. Victory. One day Jeremiah asked God, he said, God, what do you think about me and Israel? And God says in Isaiah, Jeremiah 29 verse 11, he says, I have towards you our thoughts of peace and not evil. I tell you, our future is bright, our future is good, because the God that looks at us, he looks at us with thoughts of peace and not of evil. God thinks well of you. That's why the worship leader begins with saying, God is a good God. God is a great God. God loves us. Amen. And that's why He has showered us with His peace. You know, one day Jesus came along and said, I'll tell you what is the difference between the devil and God. John 10:10. He said, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but God came to give life and give it more abundantly. Do you know that Isaiah 54 verse 13, the word great peace, the word great is the word rap. The word rap in the Hebrew means abundance, plentiful, full. God wants to give us a full, abundant life. John 10, the devil came to steal. If the devil steals something from you, what happens to you? Something is missing. If the devil comes to kill and to destroy, what happens to you? Something is broken in your life. What the devil wants to do, he wants to take away your peace. But God came to give you life, and more abundantly. Abundant life means living in the fullness of God's redemptive peace. The question tonight is, you look at your areas of your life, do you have God's peace? Or are you in pieces tonight? If you are, tonight say, Lord, not out of my own works, but out of the works of Calvary. You shed the blood in Isaiah 53. Today, I know I have a covenant of peace. And because of Jesus, tonight I have every boldness to come to you and ask you for restoration, compensation, repayment of the peace that I have, because peace is my inheritance. I have a heritage, a rich heritage with God. Right now, look at your life. Right now, let us ask God, right now, do you have shalom in your body? If you don't have tonight, stand on the ground of the blood, stand on the ground of Calvary, and say, Lord, I demand shalom, peace, to be restored back into my body. Right now, if you don't have, right now, ask God, God, something is missing in my life, and that is shalom in my body. If that is missing, why don't you ask God right now and say, Lord, I understood now. Peace is connected with health. Peace is connected with healing. Peace is connected with wholesomeness. Something is missing in my life. I lack your peace. Ask God for restoration in that area of your life. Peace in your body. Right now, just ask God. Some of you, you have a problem with your neck area, particularly your throat tonight. You can ask God for a touch in that area. Right now in that area, you feel a struggle. You say, Lord, something is wrong with my throat or in my neck area. And tonight, God is going to restore health in that area of your life. If you're a person, just lift up your hand. Who is that? Yes, yes. Anyone else? Yes, yes, yes. That area right now today, and say, Lord, I want peace. Peace to come back into that area of my life. Something is broken. Something is missing. Lord, restore health. Right now, ask Him for that. And God is going to restore it back into your soul. Hallelujah. Amen. And there are a few of you, there seems to be an operation of the curse over your life. Things begin to reoccur repeatedly over and over again. Things will go on well for a while, but it will relapse and collapse, and it goes back again. And the Lord is telling you, there, without a cause, no curse come upon your life. Begin to search your heart and ask God, where have something has been broken down that the curse have come into my life and my family? If you find that the curse have been reoccurring in your life, something is very wrong, and you say, Lord, I need to find out what is the cause. What is the cause that opened the door for such thing to happen in my life? There are few of you that need to ask God tonight. You are sitting here, and God says you need to search your heart and ask God and find out where is the missing link, that He can close that door so that that curse can be completely broken in your life. Hallelujah. In fact, one of you particularly have reoccurring accident over and over again. Reoccurring accident. Things just happen in your life. You know why? You can call it misfortune or what, but things just happen your way. It just happened broken, and things, that is a curse. And God says, you've got to ask God to completely release you from that happening. Things just happen in your life. For no damn reason, things happen. I say, why? Why? Repeated incident. There is a curse. Particularly, there's a curse over your children. There's a curse over your children, and something is very wrong with your children. And people may pray, and nothing happened. I'm telling you, there is an open door in your life. Until you find it out and close that door and ask the blood to seal it, you'll find that your child will be living in a curse. So you ask God, God, please help me. Close that door. I need peace. Great peace to come upon my children, and He will do it. Amen. Relationship. How about your relationship between husband and wife, between the parents and the children? If you don't have peace, begin to say, God, tonight I found out, Lord, I should not take it for granted. Do not leave things as it is. I must ask You for a restoration, to repair the relationship. Ask God to repair it. Don't say, oh, it will never be done. It is always like that and it will always remain like that. No. We can ask God for supernatural repair of the relationship and a mending of hearts. God can do it in your life, in your family relationship. Ask God for it. And some of you, if you know that you're struggling in the area of finance, struggling, I'm telling you, God wants to bring peace into that area of your life. That area should not bring stress to you. But if you say, God, I'm going to clean up my life, I'm going to search my heart, and Lord, if I walk upright before you, Lord, I have every right to demand, Father, for a restoration of prosperity in that area of my life. One of you having now this is a very sensitive thing, sickening thoughts in your mind. You don't have peace in your mind. You have been attacked in your mind. Like your mind's fortress have been down and a lot of thoughts have came in and attacked your mind. A lot of massive pollution. You don't have peace in your mind. But the Lord is saying to you, if tonight you will come and you come under the blood and say, Lord, I will live a clean life. Then I will tell you, that area will be shut and those thoughts that seems to be tormenting you will torment you no more from now on. Because God is going to bring peace back into your soul. So if you were to shut that area of your life and say, Lord, I will live a clean life, shut all areas that open the door to the enemy, then you will have peace. Amen? Hallelujah. Peace in your living condition. Look at your living condition. Are you living in satisfaction and contentment? Are you happy? Do you feel good about where you are? Ask God for the peace. How about in the area of the battles of your life? The warfare that you go through, the struggles you go through. Ask God, God, I need peace. And tonight, let us ask God, God, we don't just want peace, but we want you as our peace. Lord, walk into our life. My friend, the most everlasting peace that you can have is you invite God to become your peace. You know what is it? Jehovah Shalom. How do you get it? The Bible says in Numbers chapter 6 verse 25, when the priests pray over the children of Israel, they say, may the Lord's countenance shine upon you and grant you peace. So when you begin to seek the face of God and say, God, I need you because you are my very peace that I'm looking for. And when you seek God, when you have a close walk with God, He will impart the peace into your life. And with that peace, He will bring restoration into your life. Like Jesus was sleeping in a boat in Mark 4. There was a great storm and the disciples was afraid. And Jesus, the Prince of Peace, stood up and said, peace, be still. And there was a great calm. Whatever area that has no calmness, there's a storm that's going on in your life, when you invite the Prince of Peace, He will bring peace to every situation in your life. Every situation, He wants to bring peace into your situation. By beginning by reading His words. John 16:33 says, the words that I've spoken to you that you might have peace that remain in you. Amen. So Father, this evening, Lord, we ask that we invite you to come into a closer fellowship with us. We don't want the flimsy peace. We want you as our very peace. May your presence become the very peace that we are seeking. And may you fill our minds and our hearts. May the peace of God garrison, guards our hearts and the thoughts of our mind. So Father, we invite you to bring about a full restoration of all the redemptive benefits and all the covenant blessings that came as a result of peace. Father, let there be peace in our body, peace in our soul, peace in our spirit. Let there be a fullness of peace restored back in our life, in every area of our life. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You know, some of you tonight, you are in a position, the Lord is calling for you. The Lord is calling for you, and at least there are two of you, look at your life, and you look at yourself and you say, I don't feel good, I'm not worthy. You struggle with your image before God. You look at your self-image and you struggle, I'm not worthy, I'm not clean, I'm not this, I'm not that, and you feel so bad.
And some of you have felt the response of God to draw near to Him, and God is calling for you to draw near. I felt some of you are as if like coming into a cocoon, where you are alone, wrapped up in the silk, where you are alone with God. And the Lord says, you need the time of aloneness where God can come into your soul and bring about a transformation, that God can bring about a change in your life, so that from a caterpillar, you can become a butterfly. This is a time that God wants to bring about a transformation inside you. You don't feel good about yourself. And God says, I am going to do a new change. I'm going to restore the broken image in your soul. You seem to condemn yourself. You seem to say, I'm not good, I'm not worthy, I'm not good enough for God. And because of that, you have been living in condemnation. And tonight God says, what you need is to spend time, quality time with God, like in a cocoon, that God can restore that proper sanctified image in your soul, that you will no longer live in guilt and condemnation. You will live in freedom. Hallelujah. If you have that guilt that torments you, it's a time that you need to spend quality time with the Lord. If you are a person, would you lift up your hands? Just lift up your hands. You know that who you are. Yes, 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 yes. Anyone else? Yes, you're struggling with that image. And God is saying, I'm going to restore that proper sanctified image in your soul. Yes, yes. Anyone else? Yes, yes. You know that you're struggling in that area. Yes, hallelujah. Father, we are going to come into your glorious presence, and we allow you to bring about a glorious change, like in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, it says that we behold you as in a glass, and we are changed from glory to glory. There will be a change in our life, hallelujah. There will be a change, hallelujah. Let there comes a glorious change in our soul, Father, as they draw near to you every day of their life, every day of their life. Hallelujah. You know, there are people right now, you have been attacked in your mind, sometimes like accusing thoughts, sometimes it's like thoughts flood your soul, you uncontrollably, there's an attack on your mind. If you are a person, would you lift up your hand? Yes, anyone else? Anyone else? Yes, yes, lift up. I saw arrows that hit your mind. Yes, anyone else? Hallelujah. Yes, 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 yes. Hallelujah. Father, we plead the blood of Jesus tonight over their mind. And Father, every attack of the enemy, we command it to be broken tonight. We declare Isaiah 54 verse 17 that no weapon formed against them is going to prosper tonight. And so, Father, we claim the protection of the blood. Father, let there be a cleansing of the blood over the soul, over the mind. And Father, we ask for peace to be restored in the area of our mind. Father, as we speak peace to our mind, we speak peace to our mind, as we speak peace to our mind, let there be the closing of the doors to the workings of the enemy. Father, let that place be sanctified. Let that place be a place filled with the presence of God. Let that mind be a mind that is so saturated with the goodness of the Lord. Father, we ask that you do a new work in that area of their minds, Father, tonight. Hallelujah. And Father, we thank you tonight. There are people, Lord, that are not well in the stomach area. And Father, we ask also that you also do a change in the area, the weakness of the stomach. If you are not having shalom in the body, in the stomach area, would you lift up your hand? Lift up your hand. Yes, yes. Lift up your hand and begin to believe God for shalom in your stomach and say, I will not entertain this weakness. Lord, I demand healing. I demand a restoration of my weakness and claim shalom. Lord, we speak the peace of God to reign in the stomach, gastrointestinal areas. Lord, in the area of the stomach, we bless that area with peace. We bless that area with restoration of health. Lord, let the stomach be strong, be strengthened in the name of Jesus. Let that stomach condition be healed of every weakness, of pains, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And so, Father, we thank you for everything that you've done tonight. And we bless you, Father, for you are the God of peace. And we know, Father, you're coming back soon. And you shall crush Satan very shortly under our feet. And we thank you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.